One thing that I've tried to do recently that I think all of us should try to do is, if you don't thank the Lord for anything else, thank Him every day that Jesus died for our sins. He bare our sins in His body on the tree of the cross and obtained eternal redemption for us. He absorbed and satisfied the righteous wrath of God upon our sins. And we have been eternally reconciled unto Him and justified. That means we've been declared right with God because of what Jesus did. Brother Clayton emphasized the verse in Thessalonians that talked about how we're to be good to one another in the church and also toward all men. There's a verse in Galatians that turns that around. It says, do good unto all men and especially unto them that are of the household of faith. While we should not distinguish between how we treat people out in the world and how we treat people in the church, I believe God expects more of us toward one another in the church. I believe there is a special obligation there. Do good unto all men, and especially unto them of the household of faith. I want to read to you today from the book of Haggai. Haggai is one of 16 prophets in the Old Testament. And his prophecy is the second shortest in the Old Testament. The shortest is Obadiah, which is primarily addressed to the Edomites, the descendants of Esau. So we could say that Haggai's prophecy is the shortest that's written directly to the Lord's people as represented in the Old Testament by those among the Israelites, those that were in the northern kingdom, and particularly here, he refers to the southern kingdom of Judah, of which Jerusalem was the capital. So we want to begin in verse 1, Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to be put into a bag with holes. Now, what I want you to have in mind as we look at this is Haggai is here describing one problem that affects multiple areas of our lives. You know, the Bible is written to God's people and described as a thorough furnisher unto every good work. I believe it was in Peter where he said that he hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. In other words, everything you need to know with regard to living a God-honoring life is in the Bible. Doesn't teach you how to do brain surgery, doesn't teach you how to do auto repairs, but everything with regard to living life in a godly way and in a way that will be prosperous for you is found in the Word of God. Some people think that, well, God's given me all these rules that prevent me from enjoying life as I might be able to otherwise. No, the best, most enjoyable, peaceful, content life you'll ever find will be in obedience to God's Word. Because he's put life in your heart that bears witness with him. And when that life in you is in peaceful fellowship with him, there's a joy that the world can't understand. That's why the apostles in the book of Acts, after being beaten and criticized and persecuted for preaching the gospel, they went on their way preaching and rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You know, the apostle Peter, history has it that he was crucified upside down because he was not worthy to be crucified the way Jesus was. He had something I don't have today, but I hope and pray that if I was in such circumstances that I would feel God's presence and strength like he did. Now Haggai here says in verse 2, here's what the Lord's people are saying. The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now, as we go through this, it's important to look at it in this light, that many things written in the prophecies that applied to them in a physical way have a direct correlation to our lives today in the church, in a spiritual sense. Here he says, the people are saying, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. In other words, they had neglected construction of the Lord's temple. And this is put in a negative light, and we need to keep this point in mind. They said, the time is not come. Let's push this down the road. Today's not a good day. This month's not a good month. This year's not a good year. I certainly plan to do what's right later on, but right now's not the time. The time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now listen to what the prophet asked. And keep in mind, the beginning of verse 3, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet. Sometimes people think the preacher's giving them their ideas. If I am, it's no more valid than what you could come up with. But this is the word of the Lord being funneled through Haggai the prophet. Now I recognize in our times today that God doesn't put a spiritual funnel in my head and just pour it through, and there's no need for me to study. But any time I am bringing you God's word, that is the Lord speaking. The word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, and here's the question. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, that is your completed houses, and this house lie waste? Now that's a good question that exposes the error of their thinking. It's not time to build the Lord's house.
I'm too busy for that. I can't get involved with the Lord's house. Well, you've got time for your own house. Is it time to do that? Your house is sealed in. Things are well with that. And it took just as much work and effort to complete your own house as it would the Lord's house. Is it time to dwell in your own sealed houses and this house lie waste? Can't you see the spiritual application of that in the church today? Is it time for this house to lie waste in a spiritual sense? And that expression, lie waste, implies to be in ruins or neglected. So he says in verse 5, now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Self-examination is so important in our lives. It will solve personal problems. It will solve marriage problems. It will solve problems in bringing up your children. It will solve problems with regard to your role with your grandchildren. It'll solve a lot of problems in your life if you will examine yourself in light of what God's Word says. But we don't like that. You don't like it when you go to the doctor and he tells you what's wrong with you. Well, why are you going there? I'm not going to the doctor because nothing's wrong with me and everything's right. While it's good to have an annual checkup, you're usually going because something's wrong and he's going to tell you what to do to correct it. Now, writing the prescription doesn't correct the problem. No more than preaching doesn't correct the problem. But when you get the prescription filled that's specifically designed to address the problem you have and you follow the instructions and take the prescription, it may well help you. But you see, the difference is the doctor is guessing to some degree, but we're not guessing when it comes to the Word of God. This is the right prescription for our problems. Now look at Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 40 as we think about self-examination. He says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Now notice, ordinarily, if you do a thorough self-evaluation, you're going to find areas in which you need to turn back to the Lord. How do you do when you read the Bible? When you read about what Brother Clayton was saying, that we're to do good to all men, do you ask yourself, is that me? Am I that way out in the world? Or do I overlook that? When you read about how you're supposed to behave yourself in every area of life, are you reading that and examining yourself? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. You know, David was so concerned about it, and this is one of the reasons he was called a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart is not a man that doesn't sin anymore. A man after God's own heart is one that when he sins, he feels convicted and he wants to turn from it. Now, in that light, I feel like there's some hope of me being a man after God's own heart, because I'm not a man after God's own heart in that I never make mistakes, but I hope I do feel convicted when the Lord shows me I've done wrong and I want to turn back to Him, as opposed to being calloused and rebellious and hardening my heart against the things of God. David said, Lord, show me my secret sin. Now, most of us already have enough we know about that we don't want to see more. But David said, even the ones I'm not aware of, Lord, show me those sins. And in like manner, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 15, it says, let us examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Now, that's a doctrinal examination for the most part. He talks about the faith, the doctrines. But more often than not, this self-examination is with regard to our personal behavior and our personal commitments to God. Verse 6. Now, before we read that, remember the problem. The people are saying, there's other things right now that are more important than God's kingdom. That's basically what they're saying. It's not time for the Lord's house to be built. But what is important to me now is the things pertaining to my personal life. That's what's priority to me. And that goes just contrary to what Jesus said. And I hope to show you before we're through that this will be the solution to all the problems you have. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And going to church on Sunday doesn't touch what that encompasses. It's part of it. Really, going to church on Sunday is just a symptom that you are seeking the kingdom of God first. To seek the kingdom of God first means that everything I do, all of my life, my decisions are centered around, will this compromise my service to God, or will this put me in a position to better serve the Lord? Do you evaluate your decisions in that light? See, this is when you examine yourself. This is when you search and try your ways. Are you making a move to another job, but you're going to a place where there's not a healthy church? Search yourself. It's not up to me to search you. It's up for you to search yourself. See, when people say, well, the preacher has done quit preaching and gone to meddling, what they're really saying is, I don't want to search myself. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. See, if the Lord meddles in your life, that's okay. If I'm just telling you what the Lord said and that results in your life being meddled into or meddled with, that's between you and God. He says, here's what the result is. You've sown much, you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. Now listen to this last one. And he that earneth wages, to be put into a bag with holes. You ever put coins in your pocket when you have a hole in your pocket? They all go through, fall on the ground. You know what? A few minutes later, you're going to forget about it and do it again. You ever done it more than once? That is senseless, isn't it? I've got a hole in my pocket. I've already found it out one time, but later on in the day, I'm going to do the same thing again and get the same results. That makes no more sense than not seeking the kingdom of God first. Jesus gave a promise that will always work. But when we don't seek his kingdom first, the Lord says, I'm going to put your money in the bags with holes in it. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, verse 7, consider your ways. I don't know why my finances aren't working. Consider your ways. And then he says in verse 8, well, let's first of all consider what Jesus said that I've already quoted. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things, and the things under consideration there, are any and everything you need to sustain your natural life. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, most of us are already drowning in things, aren't we? We're living in such a prosperous country. Most of us have too many things. Now, I realize an abundance of things and stuff won't buy groceries. I understand that. It won't pay your bills. I realize that. There are many expenses you have that are ongoing regardless of what you've stored up over here in the way of things. But Jesus says, seek me first, and all the things you need will be added unto you. It boils down to whether or not we believe what he said. You see, we want to plan it all out. And the Bible doesn't teach that because the Lord provides when you seek him first, therefore just throw all judgment to the wind. That's not what Jesus taught. We're taught in the Bible to be a good steward. And one of the things about being a good steward is to remember what it says in Proverbs when it says the borrower is servant to the lender. Now I realize we're living in an economy where most anyone that wants a home is going to be required to borrow money unless you save up until your children are grown and you're not able to take care of a house and then you pay cash for it. I understand that. But always keep this principle in mind. The borrower is servant, that means slave, to the lender. See, you can buy a house and say, I want to put down the absolute minimum. I want to pay the absolute minimum for the longest of period of time allowed. And then you can go out and buy a new vehicle, which when you drive it off the parking lot, depreciates immediately. If you can afford a new vehicle, that is great. If God has blessed you in seeking him first to do well, that is great. But most people, or let's put it this way, many people buy new vehicles that don't need to be buying a new vehicle because they're putting themselves in a position of slavery. He says, consider your ways. Jesus said, seek me first, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, here's the problem we often have with regard to that principle. And I believe in Proverbs chapter 30. This describes how we're often unwilling to turn the results of our seeking the Lord first over to the Lord. Let me say that again. Jesus didn't say, seek me first and you'll get rich. He didn't say, seek me first and you'll barely get by. He didn't say, seek me first and you'll have the average income of the average American family. He didn't say that. Here's the principle under consideration there. Proverbs chapter 30, and this is the attitude that we ought to have. He says, two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Now that's pretty bold language, isn't it? To say, Lord, two things I require of thee. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Materialism is vanity. Remove far from me vanity and lies. The Bible talks about the deceitfulness of riches. The Bible talks about how that through covetousness, Some have erred from the faith. That means they've swerved off course and they've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, all of us probably struggle from time to time with the idea of thinking, if I could just have this, I would be happy. I struggle with that all the time. But notice what our attitude should be. Verse 8 of Proverbs 30. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Now that's strange language, isn't it? Give me neither poverty nor riches. What in the world does that mean? Well, he goes on to say, feed me with food convenient for me. You know what that word convenient means? My allowance. You remember when you were a child, sometimes your parents would give you an allowance. Who decided what the allowance would be? Well, if you had the right kind of parents, you didn't decide what it would be. They decided. The word allow itself implies they're the one that allowed you to have a certain amount of money each week, and they were also in a position where they could decide, we're not going to allow you to have that if you don't behave yourself. Here's what he's saying. He says, Lord, feed me with food based on your allowance, what you know is good for me. Now, somebody may say, well, surely God intends for me to do well in the material realm, and he might. You know, Solomon prayed, Lord, give thy servant wisdom to go in and out before so great a people. And because his priority and focus was the kingdom of God, God blessed him abundantly in the material realm. When the Israelites obeyed God, he said, you're going to have vines with grapes so abundance it's going to take two men to carry them out. God's not opposed to us doing well materially. There's nothing wrong with wealth, especially if you use it to promote the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, one of the gifts listed in Romans chapter 12, which are not the gifts of the ministry, these are the gifts of the laity, one of the gifts is giving. You say, Brother Buddy, I thought we're all supposed to give. We are, but some people are especially blessed. They can give whenever there's a special need. They can sit down and write a check for $1,000 whenever they need to. Not the average member can't do that. But it says, he that has the gift of giving, let him do it liberally. That means generously, without holding back. But notice here, he says, feed me with food convenient for me. Now, maybe God knows that if you do too well financially, even when seeking the kingdom of God first, if you do too well financially, you're going to quit going to church. You're going to take up a hobby. You say, I've always wanted to play golf, but it's an expensive sport. Nothing wrong with playing golf. But if you get so involved with it that you start playing golf on Sundays, even if you come to church and say, I got to go, my golf game starts at 1 o'clock. That's a problem, see? What do you know but that the very issue you're worried about as to why I'm not doing better financially, I'm trying my best to put the Lord first. What do you know but that God's giving you that allowance because he knows the ruin you would bring upon yourself if you had more? See, this is when it takes trust and faith. This excludes your wisdom, see? We don't like to do that. We don't like to take risk. Isn't it ironic that we associate risk with following the Lord? But we do, don't we? We don't think that, but that's what we're doing. You know, if I do that, brother buddy, I'm taking a risk. If I seek the kingdom of God first, if I say, Lord, you bless me with a job you would have me to have, you lead me according to your will, and I guarantee you, if you prioritize the kingdom of God, he will. Now, notice here. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full. In other words, if God gives me more of an allowance than I need, I'm not going to give a 10-year-old $100 a week, or you. That'd be foolish. I'm not going to give them $100 and say, here's what you can spend any way you want to. Now, I may give them $5 and say, spend any way you want to. If you want to go out and buy candy and Coke and spend it all, that's up to you. But I'm not going to give them $100 and say, go spend it however you want, because I can't trust them with $100. He says, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? That describes America pretty good today. I'm in my own sealed house. I'm not suffering. Everything's comfortable. There's no hardship. And then he says, or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. What a wonderful attitude. To say, Lord, I want you to decide what my allowance is, but Lord, don't make it such a small amount that I can't provide, that it's not adequate to help me overcome the temptation to steal. You know, and the book of Proverbs teaches us, and we'll not turn to this, but the book of Proverbs says if a man steals, you can fix that. If I steal from Brother Clayton because I'm hungry, I can fix that. I'm sure he would be understanding if I stole because I was starving. We can solve that problem, but you know, he goes on to say, he that committeth adultery with a man's wife lacketh understanding. People say all sins are the same. They're not in the sense of consequence. They're all the same in terms of violating God's law, but as far as how they impact our life, they are not all the same. Lest I steal and take the name of my God in vain. Now we'll conclude with this. We're out of time. Verse 8. The prophet says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Now this verse tells us what the ultimate goal is. The Lord says, it's going to bring me pleasure if you seek the kingdom of God first. See, we're not talking about some rule that you need to follow. We're talking about God's, if I may say it this way, God's welfare. The Lord said it's going to bring me pleasure, and listen to this. And he says, I will be glorified. To be glorified means to show one's greatness. See, when we're not building the Lord's house, we're disgracing the Lord. But when we build his house, we're showing the greatness of God. You know, you hear people say, you hear preachers say, our main purpose is to glorify God. That's the truth, but what does it mean? To glorify God means that everything I do, the way I live my life, what I say, shows how great I think God is. See, that's when you can apply it, isn't it? The reason I'm going to live a moral life is I want to show how great God's way is. The reason I'm going to worship him and put him first is because I believe he is great in his love and his salvation, and that his wrath passes over me because of what Jesus did. It's all about giving glory to God, showing his greatness. You remember what, I believe it was Samuel, said to Saul after he had ruined his life? He said, "Remember when you were little in your own sight." That's a good position to be in. John said, "I must decrease, but he must increase." When you're little in your own sight, you're going to say, "The only thing in my life that gives meaning and joy is the Lord." So let's build the Lord's house, and he will take pleasure in it.